Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's too damn Friday. And that's off the jump right now. That's off the rip. I have had far too much coffee today. There is far too much going on here. And we know we are the Friday heading into Labor Day weekend. It's Jhené and Golic Jr.
Yes.
Here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got big shots from OG to get to on this one. We have inside a week until NFL football begins next Thursday. We got to get Jhené's fantasy team right.
Yes, but let's go.
Before we do neighborhood,
go in.
Oh, is that what we figured out the team name's going to be?
That's the one that's sitting on my mind right now, but we still have a couple days to figure it out.
All right, there we go. The Chineighborhood is the leader in the clubhouse, but she is still taking submissions. But before we get to all of that, Jhené, we're sitting around before the show, and you say, I got a story. We got to get to this right away. Something happened in your day. So what is going on out in La La Land right now?
So we all agree that's too damn Friday, right? We're so excited for Friday, and I was extremely excited. I finally, you guys know I'm here at home in Los Angeles. I've got about 15 million monitors around just to hold it down for a show. And so my final monitor finally came in, and I'm a tech nerd. So I was on the phone with my pops, and you know, I was so excited. I was trying to get the vibe right. So I was like, let me light a candle so that when I'm in the room here, I could be smelling like French vanilla and all that type of stuff, which was nice. And I was on the phone with my dad, and I was like, what's that smell? My hair was on fire. My entire hair was on fire. I was talking to my dad, lit the candle, and was trying to get my water bottle, and the left side of my whole face was flames. And I was like, oh my gosh! And my dad was laughing. He was like, what's going on? I was like, Dad, my hair's on fire. And so I dropped my whole head inside the sink and wash it out. And I'm like, oh, how much hair do I have? Enough hair left, which I'm very grateful for. But it still smells like toast. My hair smells like so I smell like toast. I'm here in my room. My candle's still going strong. But, yeah, that definitely happened because it's too damn Friday and we're too excited. We had to set the vibe right.
Oh my God. I can't believe that you tried to. She sat around before this show. Like, let's just take the curtain off right now. We're sitting around in our pre-show right now. We're all on Zoom. We're talking in here. And Jhené goes, I just have like a little thing I want to get to right off the top. Just like tell you guys something. You lit your entire head on fire.
Yeah, my whole hair was on fire. Like the entire left side were flames. I was like, I know it's going to be lit, but this is not how I envisioned our Friday show starting off. And so I was like, I really got nervous, so I started running my hands through my hair, and like the hair started flying out. Granted, y'all, this ain't my hair, you know what I'm saying? It's my hair because I bought it, but it's not my hair because I'm wearing it. And so, but don't let this one day will come out. One day, okay, maybe one bet. I'm going to do the wrong bet. I'm going to go fro one day.
Oh, like, all natural. Let's go.
The reason why I have my hair like this is because it protects my hair. I put a lot of heat to it to style it, and I'd rather do, you know, the hair I bought than the hair that I was born with. So, but one day, you know, we'll unveil everything, all the locks. But I'm glad it wasn't my hair this time because that thing was lit. My hair was lit. I'm telling you, I saw flames. Like,
if you are not Fridaying so hard that you see literal flames shooting out of your hair, then why are you even bothering?
See, my hair's long and I was holding the candle, and so I sort of dropped it and then I didn't realize it. And then I looked and I was like, whoa. But yeah, let's get it started. Let's get lit.
Let's get it started. Everyone, be safe. Like, I understand we are all ready to careen off a cliff right now into this weekend. Everyone's jacked up going into it. And with good reason, because we got a lot going on, like we mentioned. But last night, it was finally going off. It seemed like they were down and out. The Toronto Raptors down 0-2 to the Boston Celtics. And that all changed with a game winner. By who else other than OG Anunoby? Because that's exactly what we expected on this. Here's how the game-winning three sounded last night as the Toronto Raptors got back into this series and are now down 2-1.
Anunoby, catch and shoot. Goal! Down the bottom of the well for OG Anunoby. Toronto wins it. OG splashes it home on the cross-court pass from Lowry. They're going to review it. And if it stands, Toronto is back in the series as OG splashes it down. Wow. I have seen it all.
OG, triple OG, that sound courtesy of TSN 1050. And Jhené, what a final play. What an inbounds pass from Kyle Lowry on that one over the, as he put, 7-10, blah, 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 Taco Falls in this situation. Just unreal execution in the clutch.
Honestly, I was worried because Kemba Walker was doing what Kemba Walker does, especially in March Madness type of, you know, style with this bubble basketball. It sort of feels like March Madness. And it was a must-win game for the Raptors.
We take that very seriously around here.
Absolutely must win in the sense that, I don't know, we need to check the stat. I don't think any team has come back from 3-0, like down 3. In an NBA series. And so that shot, obviously amazing. And a lot of people are going to say this was more Boston's bad defense versus Toronto's good offense. Sometimes, like, offense just wins. 0.5 seconds on the clock. A perfect pass. I know everyone's going to give love to OG, and I love to give love to a fellow Nigerian, OG Anunoby. Like, that shot was great. But, like, if you're thinking about who you're trying to load up to, You want to leave the last guy in the corner, because that's like a blind closeout, meaning you just run towards the corner intersection, hand straight up, run past them. And even though there was a defensive, I guess, you know, lapse there, still the contest was there enough for you in 0.5 seconds to sort of alter and shot. The pass by Kyle Lowry.
Yo.
Impressive. Impressive. Right in the shooting pocket where you just have to catch and release. Like, that doesn't even happen in just normal games that often. Like, it's so hard to sort of negotiate passing with precision in a normal environment. I'm talking about near half court, like so close to near half court. So I guess, you know, the gods of Spalding and Wilson were sort of raining on the Toronto Raptors, because that could have saved their season right there. It really could have.
And I think we need to remember, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You mentioned all those things that happened there, and it looked so easy, and it looked so calm in this situation. And I had to sort of remind myself, the core of this Toronto Raptors team, and yes, I know that at one point included DeMar DeRozan, and it was really the two-man show of him and Kyle Lowry in LeBron James' old Eastern Conference, but a lot of the core of this team is battle-tested as hell. And this is no disrespect to how good this Boston team is, but this Toronto team has seen and been through a lot tougher tests than this in these kind of playoff environments. And so even OG, like, listening to him after the game in the presser, like, how cool and collected this man sounded addressing the media, talking about what happened.
Yeah, like, I was excited. Everyone was excited for me, so it was cool. Someone hit me in the nose. So I was kind of mad about that, but it's cool. Everyone was excited. Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss. Like, every shot I shoot, I try to make it, so I was not surprised, but I wasn't surprised.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Chiney, it's that kind of metal. And we talk about this a lot with playoff teams. The Boston Celtics are an example of this, because both of these teams mirror each other in certain ways. But I think it was just sort of remembering, oh man, Kyle Lowry and these guys, as much as for a long time they had that cap of LeBron on top of the East, they got over the hump. This is a team with championship metal that's not going to be deterred by some 0-2 hole.
You absolutely nailed it when it comes to Kyle Lowry. We've seen so many different iterations of this team, where DeMar DeRozan, obviously, Kawhi Leonard, and now we're trying to see the emergence of Pascal Siakam. But the guy who has been the engine, the catalyst to all of their success, even through his highs and lows, Kyle Lowry, played 46 minutes, I believe, last game, had 31 points, and I think it was 8 assists, 6 rebounds, the play of the night, the pass of the year, no shot without that pass. Kyle Lowry really is a guy, if you look around the league, like, as a point guard, you want to play with. And we saw in a series with the Rockets and the Thunder how an easy inbounds pass could have changed the trajectory of their win in the series if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander lobbed it over to Steven Adams. Now you're seeing a savvy vet that has been battle-tested make the hardest pass probably you could conceivably make over 7-12. Taco Fall. Talk about a game winner, right? You saw my tweet yesterday, didn't you?
Taco. Oh, yeah. Taco.
I was inspired by you. I was inspired by you.
This is a show that supports puns and going so hard that your hair catches on fire. And we've accomplished both of those things already out of the gate on this one. But we're not done there. Coming up next, we got to get to the nightcap from last night. Since it's been the debate all week, we're going to figure out what the hell we call these nuggets. That's next. It's Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Yummy.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I still can't get over the fact that to start the show, Chiney Agwumike just tried to casually slide in here like I lit my hair on fire. For anyone that missed it, Chinee Agumake, and it's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, slides in here. We're getting ready to talk about the NBA. We got buzzer beaters going on in the Celtics-Raptors series. We got whatever the hell happened with the Nuggets and the Clippers last night. That was not much of a game for very long in that one, so we got to look at naming rights on the Nuggets here. But Chinee tries to slide in and say, oh yeah, I casually lit my hair on fire before the show, and the best part was, in the last break, Chinee tells us that the first thing she thought was, man, I might want to take a picture of this, but I also might die. You are out here for the content.
Well, my thing is, I felt like no one would believe me when I said it, when it was happening to me. And so I was like, well, looking back, I thought about that afterward. I was like, oh my gosh, you're on fire. And then I was like, dang, I wish, like, people will never believe me because, like, you see it now and it's fine. But, like, I had, like, streams just coming out. I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to have any hair left? But totally happened. Totally, dude, it did happen.
That much of a queen where she can light her hair on fire and still show up looking ready to go for the show. That's the difference around here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show. Penzoil Performance Line, Chinee Agumake Jr. reminding you to tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And, Chinee, we just talked about unreal buzzer beater in the Toronto-Boston game. We were excited about that one. The nightcap, not as much. Denver and the Clippers tipped off their series last night. Game one, the Clippers get a 120-97 win over that one that didn't look very close, really, from the jump. And, Chinee, this is someone, I think I heard Max Kellerman refer to it earlier as almost like a scheduled loss. As soon as we heard Jamal Murray in the postgame the other day, blown away by the fact that they weren't going to have 2 days in between games, it seemed like this one was written in the stars.
Oh, yeah. They were clearly fatigued, and it was cute because in the beginning of the game, they were going hard, but then, you know, that first quarter break hits, that halftime break hits, and you just don't have that same energy. But I guess I was going to try to think of something positive to say about the Nuggets. Like, they did try to compete, and I think they realized, like, they have to do better, especially with help defense and that type of stuff, like rotations, to at least force an extra pass to buy themselves more time while they're tired. But let's talk about the Clippers, because the Clippers, this is the first game in a while where they had the starting lineup that they actually wanted, and their team was pretty much at full strength. Patrick Beverley was back. The Clippers have used 33 different starting lineups this season, but finally we're back to the one that probably works the best. Pat Bev being able to go and fresh at Jamal Murray really helps defensively, and Doc Rivers even said this guy is the defensive captain of our team. Kawhi Leonard is going to do what Kawhi Leonard does, drop, get buckets, didn't even play in the fourth. And then also you get a boost from Marcus Morris, who's a good additional scorer. But to me, the most important part here, if you're Clippers Nation out there, is that Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell were both in double figures. And those are two guys that have worked in tandem and have been one of the highest scoring duos, and they come off the bench. So now everything looks like the Clippers, everything is coming together at the right time for them. And it's bought enough time for Paul George to sort of find his game as well.
Yeah, playoff P actually becoming a real part of this equation here is a huge difference maker for the Clippers. It's Chinee Agumake Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. And you mentioned Doc Rivers talking about Pat Bev, because I think we probably underrated the loss and what he meant being off the floor for that team in the last series. Here was Doc talking about just how deep that impact has felt.
It gives us energy. We're not a particularly loud team on the floor defensively. Pat is in a lot of ways with that starting lineup. He's a defensive captain with his voice. He calls out coverages. He holds everybody responsible. And to have that voice to start games is just invaluable. And then what it does, it just leaks over to the rest of the team. So when you see him playing like that and talking like that on defense, it helps the entire team.
Chinee, I laugh when I hear him say we're not a particularly loud team, and I just think of Kawhi Leonard highlight from back in the day. I think this was Spurs Kawhi putting the cuffs on dude on the front end, says nothing, stone face, just sitting there clamping him, and finally the guy on offense just throws up his hand, ticked off, and Kawhi giving you that dead. There's nothing worse, right, than someone giving you that deadpan look while they absolutely body you.
Like, it's like you're trying to get under their skin, get something out of them, and that's why he's Terminator. He's in Terminator mode. But it's funny because we talk about defense. This is a team that we all know for their defense. Paul George has been a top defender. Kawhi Leonard, clearly defensive player of the year. Pat Bev, you know what Pat Bev does. And it's funny when he says, oh, yeah, like, we're not a loud team. I was like, but on the sidelines, your boys are pretty loud. Let's be real here. But Offensively, I also found it was interesting that they improved to 12-1 in games at full strength this season. So when they have everybody, they are the favorite. And the Clippers have scored 880 points through their first seven postseason games, fourth most in NBA history. So we were ready to sound the alarm when Luka Doncic was doing his thing. But now it looks like everything is hitting stride at the perfect time, especially considering you're playing a team in the Nuggets that are tired and just went game seven.
I think because of the bubble, this all has a bit of March Madness feel to it, where it's yes. Everyone sort of locked in a room together. And what do we see in March Madness generally? The first couple of rounds, you see some scary outputs against teams that are inferior, against some of the blue bloods in college basketball.
Yep.
And then what we tend to see is the cream rise to the top. And while the Lakers and Houston are going to tip off tonight for the first game of that series,
oh,
I think most people, including Charles Barkley, a.k.a. Stu Gotts with a resume, talking about everyone looking at Lakers-Clippers as the matchup, it's nice to see that coming off the first round, both of those teams appear to be firing closer and closer to full strength, closer and closer to the teams that we saw in the regular season before the shutdown than we had before.
Yeah, and that's why you sort of have to worry a little bit more for the Bucks. Because if these guys are hitting stride and the Bucks are sort of now in a situation that we never thought they'd probably be in, that's the bubble, right? Like, these things that you plan for, you can't plan for the unexpected in the sense of a on-point Jimmy Butler and a team that wants all the smoke in the Miami Heat. But looking at this matchup between the Nuggets and obviously the Clippers, I think fatigue won game one. But more so, the Clippers are looking like it's not just one game that we're playing here. This is a series in which they are offensively looking as strong as their defense.
For at least game one, we assume the Nuggets are going to show out more. Jamal Murray and company, they're probably going to rebound. For at least game one, they need to be renamed.
I propose that we rename Boneless Wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them Buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Anything works under there until we get to game two, and then I'm counting on them redeeming themselves.
Wait, so
now.
Are we not calling them the Denver Nuggets? Are we calling them Saucy Nugs or something until they find their energy back? What's the deal?
The Denver Saucy Nugs until they come back in game two.
But I feel like that's too good. I feel like if they're killing it, like game seven, they were Saucy Nugs then. So what's the other one?
So do we call them the Denver Boneless Buffalo Wings then?
Yeah, the Denver Boneless Wings.
Done. The Denver Boneless Wings and the Los Angeles Clippers will have to get it going in game two.
That sounds pretty good, though.
It actually does. I'm actually really hungry now. We'll get to the role Wings have already played in one of our days coming up here, but we got to get out and get ready because we got a legend getting ready to enter the building here. I am excited. I am sweaty.
Yes!
It is about to get all sorts of beefy.
It's too damn Friday.
It is too damn Friday, and we will get to that after this word from DraftKings here, because the football season is less than 10 days away, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is going to put you in the center of the action. You get two shots at a $1 million top prize. Download the top-rated DraftKings app and use code CJR to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter the DraftKings free survivor pool. That's code CJR for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back with a Hall of Famer after this. It's Chené and Golic Jr.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So we've said it is too damn Friday around here. My world is like, if you had told Chené, like, 13-year-old fat young offensive line Mike Golic that one day he would be receiving in like the same sequence of events a text message from future Hall of Famer Joe Thomas and getting ready on Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio to talk to current Pro Football Hall of Famer and all-time left tackle Walter Jones on the Shell Penzoa Performance
Line. You would have been freaking out.
I would be freaking out and probably going to the gas station to buy more frosted donuts. So with that being said, we are delighted to be joined right now, as we mentioned, by Pro Football Hall of Famer, member of the NFL 2000s All-Decades team and the 100th anniversary team, Walter Jones. Walter, how you doing?
Welcome.
I'm doing good. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate you being here. Obviously, as we get ready to ramp up to the NFL season here, Walt, there's a lot going on. But I guess just starting with that, you know, we're inside a week from the first game of the NFL season. The dog days of training camp were different this year, but are getting ready to be over. What was that last week like for you as you got to be a veteran in this league, staring down the end of what was always such a grind?
It's fun. I think you feel good at where you're at as a team. You look forward to seeing what the young guys are going to do during preseason games. But for the veteran guys, you just want to be able to feel healthy, feel good going into the regular season. I think the hardest part this year for a lot of guys, especially for offensive linemen, just being ready to go for four games. You know, when I was missing training camp, I was able to be able to come in first start of the season and play the full game. But, you know, I just want to make sure that those guys are able to be ready to fire it up first game. You know, that's going to be different for a lot of guys, because this is new for everybody to go out there and be ready to play first game and put everything on the line the first game.
Walt, 9-time Pro Bowler, obviously you hold down Seattle, especially with the legacy, but what are you looking to Seattle for this year? What do you expect from your former squad?
What I'm looking for them is to be a veteran team. I think the teams that are still well put together with the nucleus, I think those are the teams that's gonna find ways to win games. You might have one or two young teams that kind of be like a Cinderella story, but I think with Seattle, I think with Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner, I think those guys are the nucleus of the team. Those guys are going to show those young guys how to prepare. I think that's how I learned the game, watching the veteran guys how to prepare and get ready. The only thing the coaches can do is show you the playbook and the X's and O's, but you have to watch those veteran guys to kind of figure out how to play this game and how to prepare for this game.
Talking to Hall of Fame offensive tackle Walter Jones here with us on Chiney and Golic Jr. And Walt, you mentioned some of the differences going into training camp in a football sense for this offseason for a lot of players, but we know this offseason in life and society and what we've seen go on in the world has prompted such a different response, and all of the reaction from NFL teams encouraging people to go out and vote, saying that the league is going to have the day off on Election Day this coming November. What's it been like for you watching players use their voice in this capacity through this offseason?
I think it's amazing. I think it's pretty cool how things are changing. I think it's part of the process. It's part of how things are going to go. I think you have seen that these players now are more vocal. A lot of guys are doing their own contract. I think it's just the evolution. I think it's the evolution of what we're doing right now. We Zoom, we're doing interviews on our cell phones. It's part of the evolution. So I think these guys are figuring things out. They're becoming more smart. You know, just figuring things out. I think, you know, when I came in the game, it was all about the agents and the owners. I think now these guys are figuring things out, so I think it's pretty cool. And from that standpoint, just speaking up, you know, this is your platform. This is your opportunity, so you got an opportunity to say something, do something.
Players are speaking up, Walt, and Russell Wilson is one of them. He even said that he would have, you know, hoped his entire team, but he intended to join the alliance with the NBA, you know, especially when there was a pause in play where the NBA players decided, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, Orlando Magic, and then the ripple effect after that to not play, to sort of bring a light to the social injustice in this country. What were your thoughts when you heard Russell Wilson say something like that?
It felt good. I felt good. I think for me personally, being a black dad, I have a twin girl and boy. So every time I see something on TV like that, I always think back to my kids. So I think all those guys, all the players, everybody think about that. I think if you got any heart, I think you think about that when you see stuff like that. So for those guys to be a part, I think it with all the leagues, I think it's pretty cool. Like when one league decides to make a statement, everybody fall in line. I think that's part of it. I think all these guys are, you know, friends now. You know, when I was playing the game when I was older, you usually didn't talk to the basketball players or the baseball player, but now these guys are, you know, they see each other in passing throughout the off season, so you kind of build friendships with those guys. So when something like that happens, you can communicate with those guys, and it can be a full team front. So I think that is pretty cool.
Communication, absolutely key. It's been great to see through the course of this whole off season. Walt, you were one of the best to ever do it. That left side with you and Hutch, blocking for Sean Alexander, all the things that we watched for so many years. You were one of the guys I grew up watching saying, that's a bad dude. That's who we all wanted to be like. I'm curious now, when you tune into the NFL, is there an offensive lineman that sticks out to you? Would you watch? You're like, that's just a bad guy. That's a dude I would have loved to line up with.
You know, I get that question all the time. I think, you know, for me personally, I don't really look at guys. I try to help guys. I I talked to George Fant, a guy that was a somebody that the Seahawks wanted to bring in and kind of be an experiment. And then now you see that he's in New York. He's been a leader now, so I think that's pretty cool. I would say Dwayne Brown, a guy, you know, that's already proven. But for me personally, I like to give my knowledge to these guys, these young guys. I like the left tackle from the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, a lot of guys give me phone calls and talk to them, so I try to give them my knowledge. I always tell them that I'm not going to come to you, but if you come to me, I'm willing to give all this knowledge because I can't take it with me. So those are the guys that I kind of watch. You know, for me personally, I watch the game for a fan standpoint, so I just watch. I'm like everybody else. I want to see them throw football touchdowns and run up the score.
Absolutely. Well, they would all do well to check in with you and listen in these instances because you do have a lot of knowledge to offer these guys. But you mentioned checking in there, and I know that's something that's important to you. You've got your annual 96 check coming up starting on Sunday. What can you tell us about that 96 check initiative?
I started one of my best friends, a former player, one of my Hall of Fame brothers passed away here, 3 years ago? Unexpected, I guess. And the one thing about Cortez Kennedy was that he always checked in on me. He would call me late at night just to check in. You know, if somebody call you late at night, the first thing you're expecting something is bad. But he would always just check on me to just say, hey, Walt, I'm just checking on you, see how you're doing, how your family doing. So for me personally, when he passed away and then you meet all his other friends, everybody else that he reached in his life, they say the same story that he checked on me all the time. He would call me at weird hours of the night and just check in. So I wanted to do that because a lot of times with us as players, as soon as we leave this game, we kind of everybody go do their own thing. You know, you make friends, but a lot of times you don't be connected to those guys that made that team. And so for me, I just want to reach out to those guys and ask them how they're doing. And if something is going wrong, if I can't help you, I can lead you in the right direction to get help. So I just wanted to do that for former players. And now I try to instill it into my family and with my friends just to check on people. A lot of times you can be sitting around and then all of a sudden you see somebody that you haven't saw since probably high school or somebody since college, somebody that you have made a connection with or somebody that you built something with or you went through something with somebody. So you just want to reach out to those people. And the cool thing about the 96 check is once you make them phone calls and then you meet those people 2 or 3 months down the road, they come up to you and say, hey, well, I appreciate that. I really enjoy the fact that you called me. And a lot of times it's not about telling me your personal business. It's all about just making sure that you're okay. And that takes a lot for me personally. For anybody that can call you and just check in on you, I think that makes you feel good and kind of can get you through the day.
Absolutely. And I think now more than ever, that's something that can be so huge and so helpful.
Yes.
For so many people. So everyone, be sure to check in on your people. Again, the 96 Check Initiative is a great idea and a great cause. Walt, we appreciate your time and effort and energy today. Hopefully we'll get you back on here and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Walt.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, guys. Be safe out there.
Hall of Famer Walter Jones with us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com.
I'm so happy you kept your cool that whole time.
You
really held it down.
I was sweating inside right now. Young, fat kid Mike Golic Jr. is
fangirling love
like crazy. It is a lot of big boy love around here. But we checked in with one OG just now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got to check in with another big news today out of Washington about a star running back on the move in this league. We'll get to that next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We have officially cut the brakes. This is a runaway freight train now. Oh, just a little hint at what's to come later on. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. here on
Cliff,
ESPN Radio.
I see you, Cliff.
ESPNU. It is Too Damn Friday here, and we got something for you. We know last week it got out of hand. We had Jordan Cornette in the studio with us.
It did get out of hand.
People were twerking, throwing dollar bills around here.
Wait. We had a Magic Mike appearance. Mm-hmm. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Bruh, bruh, bruh. Magic Mike.
Yep. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh
You guys have weaponized all of my fun right now. Chanae and Golic Jr. reminding you to tune in for baseball action tomorrow night as the Dodgers host the Rockies. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So we are going to keep getting hype. Chanae is going to try and not light her hair on fire anymore. And in the meantime, we got to figure out where Adrian Peterson is going to play this year, because Chanae, it was announced earlier today that the Washington football team has released veteran running back Adrian Peterson. It seems like all signs at this point this offseason would indicate that Tampa Bay has to, like, by word of law, throw their hat in the ring right now so that they can have the 2015 backfield for the ages with Leonard Fournette, Shady McCoy, and Adrian Peterson. But until that happens today, we would expect him to land somewhere, but still kind of shocking today.
Yeah, totally shocking, just because, I mean, I think especially when it comes to veteran talents, you tend to think that, okay, they might be comfortable, especially where they've had found success, even though Washington is Washington. And now looking at their backs, Bryce Love, I think it all sort of stipulated from his health, because if they are liking where he is from a health standpoint, I remember, you know, all the hype from Stanford, that man can go and he has a lot of potential, but a lot of the potential was slowed down due to, you know, his health situation. So now if they're sort of realizing we can go younger, we can build a new foundation, now AP is sort of left, you know, hanging. And I think it was interesting because reading about it, you know, they wanted to release him to give him a better chance at signing elsewhere. But then again, the season starts in, what, 6 days? So it is a short runway. But I think overall, this is 35 years old. What did we say? Year 14? Year 14. The only place, and the reason why I was laughing when I saw the first quote reaction was that he mentioned Tampa Bay. The reason why you mentioned a Tampa Bay is if you're 35 going into year 14 and you're a future Hall of Famer, you're only going to land with a contender. And the rich could potentially get richer.
Yeah, and you mentioned what he had done in Washington over the last 2 years. He led the team in rushing, 1,940 yards, 12 touchdowns in that time period on a team that we know struggled a bit. But I even remember when AP went over and ended up in Washington, I didn't think it was going to be much of a scheme fit. I didn't think it was going to work out. And he defied all of our expectations on this one. That being said, Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the mornings, still thinks that's not enough for him to keep going.
It's time to go.
To go, right? Mean leave football?
Yeah, like, okay, let's start the life, man. Let's not just keep hanging on. I mean, he's going in the Hall of Fame. He's done everything. He's accomplished everything that you could possibly accomplish as an NFL football player. And so now it's time to, let's just get the next chapter of our life going.
Wait, but hold on, Keyshawn. Keyshawn, hold on. You've already done most of the work. If it's the end of a season, I can sort of understand this. But this is like you're making it through camp. That's where you have yourself at peak performance. This isn't the time to go. It's the time to hop to a contender and to a top team. And I mentioned age 35. LeBron James, isn't he 35? And when he left Cleveland, what was he, 33, 34-ish? Like, he went to a place where he could immediately draw a top talent and be a contender. This is what happened. So if there's a time to go, maybe it's when the season is over, not when it's starting, because he's like, dang, I put all this work in and now I'm released a week early. Like, let me just find a team that I can sort of make use of my talents, at least for this year.
Like you just said, I can't imagine, even with all the vet days off he probably got, that you're going to go through an entire training camp damn near and not try and play this season out. In the year 2020 of our Lord, I watched Frank Gore's son suit up for Southern Miss last night in a college football game while he's still getting ready to take the field in an NFL uniform. You think I'm going to ask, and like, checking these old running backs and trying to get them retired is misguided. Adrian Peterson was still busting the Eagles for it last year.
He's looking directly at Cliff.
Cliff was so bitter during that last break talking about that big run. How bad did that hurt you, Cliff? Like, be honest.
That pierced, it was like a knife piercing through my heart. Like, I saw, and on top of that, I saw Vernon Davis, like, hurdle five people on the sideline and score. I said, all right, the Eagles stink.
It was a tough year for you guys. But it's a reminder, like, we all saw that and we're like, oh, okay, these guys can still really do it. Like, Adrian Peterson can still break it off. Frank Gore is still 4 yards in a cloud of dust. It's amazing stuff. It really is. So I can't in good conscience assume or try and get any of these guys to hang it up early or suggest otherwise, because we've very clearly seen the motivation and the commitment is still there in Chanae. And while all those things still burn, It ends eventually for everybody. We know AP is going to be wearing that gold jacket, but...
But clearly he still has gas in the tank, so why not find a team? And I know it's late, but he at least named it. That's why I was like, okay, go ahead. He put the name right there in the quote, Tampa Bay. We'll see. I don't know. They're lucky this week.
Speaking into existence, it is 2020. That's the currency. We're going to be over on ESPN News to start the next hour. We're going to check in with one of our favorite NBA guests. That's next on Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.